Hi, gang. Bob Bolving here with The Mystery Project and the start of a season of Peggy Delaney, written by James W. Nichol. Peggy is a columnist on a big city daily, a dedicated journalist and fighter for the people who matter most to her, her readers. This leaves her own life approaching disarray. There are parallels between her own story and the mysteries, puzzles, and questions that lie behind her headlines. Identity Crisis, Episode 1 of Peggy Delaney, starring Kyra Harper as Peggy.
Hello there. You've reached Peggy Delaney, Toronto Tribune. If you have something confidential you want to pass on, just leave your name and number. The walls have ears. I'll get back to you. If you're calling to give me fulsome, unqualified praise for my columns, please feel free now. If you're calling to scream at me, fast. Communist, cop-loving, cop-hating, politically correct, reactionary, pro-lesbian, anti-lesbian, Blue Jays trashing, sycophantic, anti-establishment, crypto, Bay Street, swamp pig, go for it. After all, this is a quasi-democracy.
Hey, Peggy.
Hi there, Nick.
Oh, I'm dead. What time did you leave last night?
Midnight.
Chicken.
Yeah, well, that's what I like about you, consistency. You always write a first-rate column, and you're always the last to leave any party.
Why is it I get the feeling that isn't a compliment?
The same reason I'm reduced to drinking ginger ale, I guess. I've been there.
Afternoon, Peggy. That was quite the time you people were having last night.
Newspaper people are all nuts.
Oh, you bet. So, what can I get you?
Just a coffee.
Coming right up.
What are you saying, Nick? I drink too much?
Are you going to slug me?
No.
I just don't want to see you fall off that particular cliff, that's all. It's wrecked a few careers, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm fine, Nick, really. I am. I appreciate your concern, though. And by the way, Mr. Bauer, your career is not wrecked.
It's just stalled. We're both reporters. We both like the truth. I'm a 60-year-old ex-drunk who used to be a foreign correspondent for some of the best newspapers in the world, holding on to a city reporter's job on the Toronto Tribulation by my fingernails. So listen to me for just one second. You're a high-flying columnist, and you've got a reputation to maintain as the toughest broad on the block. Don't let it kill you. End of subject.
Okay. I hear you. Thanks. I guess.
Too pushy?
You're my friend.
That's right. So, have you called her yet?
Who?
You know who. The person you've been talking about for the last 2 weeks.
I'm waiting for the right time.
There's a particular time for calling your daughter and asking her if she wants to come and live with you? How old is Amber? 14?
Uh-huh. Well, the thing is, all her friends are in East Van, and her dad and stepmom. She's lived in Vancouver all her life, so I don't know. It was just a thought, really. I mean, that she could move here for a school term and live with me. Kind of a change. We could get to know each other. Not that I abandoned her or anything, but, well, I see her every summer. We always go away somewhere. I fly out on holidays and her birthday, but but she knows, and I know. My career was always first. I mean, she never says. But she has to hate me, don't you think? Somewhere down deep inside. Don't you think? I guess I feel really guilty about everything, and I don't really know what to do about it. I just know I want to do something before she's completely grown up. I'm afraid she gets to know me. I mean, really gets to know me. I'll screw it all up.
Oh.
Poor Nick. Aren't you glad you asked?
I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, well, you will. It's just... it has to be the right time.
One coffee for Ms. Peggy Delaney.
Thanks a heap, Charlie.
Anita.
Jesus, look at my handshake.
Mm-hmm.
It's stress. This job is going to kill me. I'm way behind. I have another deadline tomorrow. I don't have an idea in my head.
How about in your files?
Oh, I have tons of files. It's all background stuff. I need a kicker.
One of the cops at 52, one of my friendlies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any friendlies, do you?
They'll hate my guts.
Yeah, anyway. Something happened last night in Boys Town, Church and Wellesley.
Mm-hmm.
Just a two-liner for the Metro News page, but maybe you could use it as a kicker into something.
Into what?
Well, how about into what you just said? Hate.
Yeah?
Tom Stanowski?
Yes?
Oh, you really did get whacked, didn't you? Peggy Delaney, Toronto Tribune.
Sorry, I can't talk right now.
Oh, wait, Mr. Stanowski. You don't have to talk. I know what happened. You got beat up last night by some teenagers near Church and Wellesley.
By mistake.
By mistake? You mean because you're not gay?
That's exactly right.
But they didn't know that. You're male, you were walking in the heart of the gay district. They thought it was a gay bashing.
Look, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. They jumped me from behind. I couldn't help the police. I can't help you. And I sure as hell don't want my name all over the paper. I'm not anti-gay. I'm just not gay. There's no story.
You know that old saw about man bites dog?
What about it?
That's what this is. That's the point. The fact that you're not gay. It puts a fresh spin on things. It's sure to catch people's interest, at least for a split second. And then I can say what I want to say.
Which is?
I want to write about the kids. Why they do this sort of thing. You've had a terrifying close-up experience, obviously. Maybe you saw something in their faces.
I didn't see their faces.
But what possesses these kids? Do we inject them with some kind of poison? Is our society that homophobic? Are they scared about something? Are they just stupid? I thought maybe you'd help me.
By letting you use my name in your column?
Not if you don't want me to.
I don't.
Fair enough. Then it's strictly off the record. I promise. I give you my word.
You want to write a dissertation on gay bashing?
Not a dissertation. Just a typical Peggy Delaney rant. But my column is in a paper that has over 1.5 million daily readers. So maybe something positive could come out of all this. What do you think?
I think... talking to me won't help you know any more than you already know.
You've been there. I haven't.
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
You have a nice view up here, Tom.
I suppose. Not too wide. Take it for granted. On a clear day, you can see the lake.
It's too smoggy today.
Yeah.
Wow. You must be a big sports fan. Look at all these kids' pictures. Hockey teams, basketball teams, football.
And that's why I wanted to ask you in. I wanted to explain.
What?
My situation. Why I have to be so... I'm a teacher. I coach.
Oh? Oh, Tom Stanowski. Now I remember. I thought your name was familiar somehow. Ossington Tech. You won all the championships.
Well, not all of them. Some of them. These are mostly championship teams.
Your name's already been in the papers. Metro High School sports, lots of times.
Not this way.
Okay, so let me get this clear. You're saying...
I'm saying if my kids got wind of what happened, if they became even slightly suspicious that I might be gay, teenage boys are really weird around this issue. Believe me, I couldn't do my job anymore.
Really? You're telling me that a gay teacher can't teach boys... young men? How old are these kids, anyway?
16, 17, up to 20 in some cases.
So they're not exactly kids.
No.
But I'm sure there's lots of gay teachers. They might not go around advertising it.
I coach, which means lots of emotion, closeness, lots of heart-to-heart talks. Kids look up to their coaches. I'm a surrogate dad for half of them. They talk to me about all kinds of problems. And then there's the locker rooms. Showers. I don't have to draw you a picture, do I?
I've never thought about it that way.
Why should you? I can tell you, no school wants to think about it that way. As far as they're concerned, all their gym teachers are straight, and please change the subject. As for parents, most of them are hysterical these days anyway. Any whisper about a faggy gym teacher, it would be...
untenable?
Untenable. That's a good word for it. Now, that could only be Lewis. Excuse me.
Sure.
Hey, Coach. Ooh, look at you. Man, ouch.
Yeah, Lewis. I'm busy right now.
Pepe said he saw you this morning. He said you were all messed up. You're okay, though, eh? Oh, hi.
Hi.
Lewis, this is Peggy.
Hi again.
Hi again to you, Lewis.
What do you want, Lewis?
Well, what happened?
I was in a friend's car last night, blindsided.
Man!
Yeah, the idiot in the other car, he went right through a stop sign. So, look, Lewis, I'll talk to you some other...
Yeah, but practice tonight, Coach?
We start playoffs next week, right?
Right.
Well, then why are you even asking? Of course.
The man. He's the man.
So get out of here. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Coach, I just want to say one thing.
What?
I'm impressed. Nice meeting you, Peggy.
Nice meeting you, Lewis.
Out.
Okay, Coach, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Every team has to have a character. He's ours. He keeps everyone loose.
He seems to think that you and I are...
I know. Well, that's just how their minds work.
You are fast on your feet.
What?
The lie.
Yeah. Sickening, wasn't it?
Tom, is it possible to get jumped by three kids and not see anything? You must have caught sight of at least one face.
No. It happened too fast. I was down on the ground and...
Well, what did they say to you?
What did they say? They yelled every filthy thing at me you might guess they'd yell. And then some. The power. The energy they were giving off was enormous. Terrifying. Just hate. Pure hatred.
Did you think you might be killed?
Yes. It's all perception.
What is?
A homosexual coach. No matter the reality of his conduct, impeccable, professional, there's no defense against what people might say or imagine. Is there?
Okay, thanks. I'll hold.
You look intense. That must mean you have a death grip on a column. Get in to see Stanowski.
Yeah, just a sec. Hello? Yes? I see. Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. What do you know? Our Mr. Stanowski. He told me he'd been over at Jarvis Collegiate last night, scouting a basketball game, parked his car on a side street. That's why he was in that district.
Right.
Right. I was just talking to the office at Jarvis Collegiate. There were no games last night. Both gyms were dark.
Now what?
Now, I look in on an expert.
Cinderella cleaning. Oh, alone, this is it.
What?
Did it hurt? Oh, my God. Well, I can't think that Vincent intentionally caught your dog's tail in the vacuum cleaner, Mrs. Eddington. Maybe it liked it. No, of course I'm taking it seriously. I will. Yeah. I'll speak to Vincent as soon as he gets in. Yes? I'm so sorry. Okay, and give Spanky a pat better for me. Yes. I will. Yes, bye.
Oh,
Lord. Look who just fell through the door.
Hi, Bernie.
Why do you insist on wearing that disgusting motorcycle jacket? And what's with the plastic earrings?
Oh, shut up.
What have you got on under there? A silk blouse? Ooh, and tailored slacks. You look like a Bloor Street matron auditioning for a remake of The Wild One.
Ha, ha.
Other than that, you look great. So, how have you been?
Okay, how have you been?
Depressed. Can you imagine someone just opened up a topless cleaning service? How am I supposed to compete with that?
Bottomless?
Let me think about that.
I have a question for you.
Ah, I have a question for you. Have you asked her yet?
Not yet.
You said you were going to ask her a month ago.
I will. I'm just not... I'm thinking about it.
Ah, well, there's the problem right there. Just do it. You're afraid she's going to say no, aren't you?
Yes. I'm also scared she's going to say yes.
You're all screwed up.
So are you.
You'll have to start drinking. That's what it is, isn't it?
What if I can't?
Oh, sweetheart, you can. Of course you can. You can do anything you put your mind to.
For a few days. But I'm really scared.
Oh, God. You're not going to cry, are you?
No.
Oh, Jesus, you were the toughest kid on Sumac Street. I've seen you beat people up all my life. Anything you want to do, you can do.
I know.
I have no discretion, I'm sorry. I miss Amber, that's all. They were great days.
Which ones?
All of them. Hitchhiking out of Toronto, hitting the West Coast, the commune up in the Cowichan Valley, Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
I used to babysit her all the time. We bonded.
Uncle Bernie.
Yeah. Hey, when was the last time I saw her? 2 years ago, on one of her whirlwind visits, for lunch.
I don't want to ask her here and mess things up, Bernie. And I don't want to ask her here because I need her. It has to make sense for her, too. Or it's just plain selfish, okay?
Okay. So, what was your question?
I don't know now. You've bummed me out.
Maybe you wanted your apartment cleaned.
I've been talking to this guy. It's a really strange situation he's in, and I have a hunch about it. I wanted to see what it sounds like to you.
Shoot.
Okay. He got jumped last night by three teenagers on Monteith Street.
Tom Stanowski.
What? You know him?
Mr. Coach? No. No, I don't know him. I know of him. I know Andrew, his boyfriend.
Bingo. He's gay.
No one's supposed to say he's gay. He's one of those. He's so far in the closet, you couldn't find him with a flashlight.
Then how do you know?
Andrew told me. We volunteer at this AIDS hospice, and he talks about him. About how lousy it is, being the big, dark secret in Tom Stanowski's life. They've been together for years. They have a place on Monteith. That's where he was coming from last night. If someone gets jumped around here, the drums start beating and everyone knows about it within hours.
So his secret's out?
Maybe. Some people have known about Tom for a long time, but they've gone along with it. They know his situation. He's not a bad guy. He's just a scared guy. But he's in a position to do some good, too, you know, if he did come out.
He thinks it would ruin him.
Well, of course he does. We're all freaks and queers, aren't we? Despicable human beings. And every guy in the closet confirms to Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public that that's true. We are ashamed.
He wants me to write about it. Well, that's why he talked to me.
About what?
Gay bashing.
But leave him out of it?
Yes.
There's a certain group of people around here. They do outings. They've got a hold of this now. Andrew's out of his mind with worry. But the thing is, they found out that Tom's refusing to cooperate with the police in case they actually catch those bastards and he has to go to court and testify. So what are we supposed to do? Everyone just keeps quiet because Tom wants it that way and lets these idiot children come in here and bash us around with baseball bats every time they feel like it because they know they can get away with it.
Hi, Tom.
Oh. Hi.
I suppose you've told your whole team by now, have you?
What?
About the car accident?
Oh, yeah. Right. Look, I'm busy and I don't have anything more to say anyway, so if you'll excuse me...
I just came to tell you, I spoke to Bernie Schneiderman today.
Bernie Schneiderman? Oh.
Do you know him?
I think I know of him.
He's a friend of Andrew's.
Jesus.
A lot of people are upset with you, Tom.
I know.
Hey! Tell the truth now. This comes from the Raptors, right?
Don't you wish. Hi, Lewis.
Hi. Just keeping a close eye on the coach, then?
You could say that.
The practice isn't over, Lewis.
Coach, can we scrimmage now? We've only got 20 minutes left.
Yes, you run it. I want to talk to Peggy.
Can I have your whistle? Hey!
Are you happy now? Have you done your filthy goddamn job? Goddamn it, you put my name in the paper and I'll sue you. Oh, Jesus.
Are you okay?
No. I thought I was a tough guy. Beaten. Screaming. Boots. Spit. It was just like my nightmare for years. This nightmare I've been having.
No, I guess I'm part of it.
I guess you are. I made a decision a long time ago. School boards, parents, kids, they never accept a person like me coaching boys' sports. And I know that's still true. But I am a person like me. And I'm really tired.
Some people have been talking about outing you.
Yeah. So I've been told. It's the kids. It's always the kids. I've been proud of working with them, what I've meant to them, what they've meant to me. I can't stand to think how that will change the look on their faces.
Maybe you're underestimating them. Is that possible?
I don't know anymore what's possible. So what are you going to do?
What I said I would. Write my column, leave you out. But I have this thing about the truth. I just wanted you to know. I know.
I saw the license plate on their car. It's engraved in my brain. They'll kill someone before they're through.
They could.
Another kid was driving the car, screeched up beside me. He looked scared. Two.
What are you doing?
What I should have done at the beginning, years ago. A cop gave me his card. I'm going to call. If they catch those kids, I'll testify. And I'm going out there and give the senior boys basketball team a post-practice talk they'll never forget.
Yes, you're hiding.
Yeah. I'll have to quit coaching, of course, for the kids' sakes. They'll be too uncomfortable. I can't go on doing it. Nan, who'll coach my kids?
Hello?
Hi. Hi, honey.
Mom? It's not Sunday, you know.
I know, but I've been thinking. I should have asked you this a long time before. You don't suppose you'd like to come to Toronto and live with me for a school term, would you?
What?
I said, do you think...
No, I heard. It's just like it is to make the decision and not talk to me at all.
But I am. That's why I'm calling.
You never think about anybody but yourself. I can't just make up my mind like this.
I'm not asking you to.
When?
Well, whenever you want to.
Like, a new school, you mean? New kids? Living with you?
Just for a few months. I really would like it. Would like you with me, here, for a little while. I really would.
You would?
Yes. I would.
I have to think about it.
Of course you do.
Why now?
Is it too late?
I don't know. For a whole school term?
If that's okay with you.
I have a boyfriend, you know.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's kind of stupid.
Come to Toronto, then. Would you?
I have to think about it.
I know.
Hi there, Peggy.
Hi, Charlie.
Long day, huh?
Yeah. And it'll be a long night. I still have a column to write.
Enough said. I'll bring the usual.
Charlie?
What?
Bring me a ginger ale.
You have been listening to Identity Crisis, Episode 1 of Peggy Delaney by James W. Nichol. Kyra Harper played Peggy. John Stalker was Bernie. John Winston Carroll was Nick. William Colgate was Charlie. Thomas Hoff was Tom. Jason Burke was Lewis. And Katerina Scorsone was Amber. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka and performed by David Young, Bruce Harvey, Kevin McKenzie, and Rick Whitelaw. The recording engineer was Janice Beyer. The music recording and final mix were by John McCarthy. Sound effects were by Anton Zavo. The associate producer was Nancy Dow. The program was produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening.